All right, y'all, welcome back. It's Anti-War Radio. And Eric Margulies is on the line. Foreign correspondent, Eric Margulies. EricMargulies.com is the website, spelled like Margolis. And that's how to find what you're looking for there. And we got big news coming out of Pakistan. I know Netanyahu is now speaking before the UN, his response to Abbas's speech, but you'll just have to TiVo it, because right now we got to talk about Afghanistan and Pakistan. There are major accusations being leveled against the Pakistani government by the American one, by the defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Pakistanis have angrily responded, and something tells me that both sides are at least telling the truth a little bit anyway, but welcome back to the show, Eric. What's going on over there?
Well, very worrisome stuff, Scott. I think we're looking at a lot more trouble. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, and Leon Panetta, who's new CIA chief, have just openly and directly accused Pakistan of Pakistan's intelligence agency, ISI, Inter-Service Intelligence, of having been behind and staged recent attacks inside Afghanistan, including an attack on the U.S. Embassy in Kabul and three other high-profile attacks. It's a very serious accusation, considering that Pakistan is officially listed as a strategic ally by the State Department, and it could betoken a higher level of American military action against Pakistan.
Well, that's what I don't like to hear. All right, well, so this is all about the Haqqani Network. What in the world is the Haqqani Network?
Well, I knew old man Haqqani, who founded it back in the days when he was one of the leading figures in the anti-Soviet struggle, or jihad, as they called it. That's, remember, when they were freedom fighters. They were our freedom fighters fighting the godless communists. Same people today are now called terrorists by the U.S., because they're fighting a different occupier of Afghanistan.
Now we're the godless communists.
Yes. You know, there's an old Taoist, Chinese Taoist saying, you become what you hate. And in many ways, we've come to resemble the old Soviet Union, which is very ironical. Anyway, back to the Haqqani Network. It is closely linked to Pakistani intelligence, no doubt about it. It's a Pashtun group that's based primarily in Pakistan, but in the Pashtun area of Pakistan, Pashtun tribes, and also operates in Afghanistan. It is not primarily anti-American, but it has been, fighting at times alongside Taliban against the Western occupation. If it's true, or if it is, I don't think it is true, by the way. I can't see why Pakistan's intelligence service would stand to gain from attacking U.S. targets inside of Afghanistan, considering the U.S. is giving billions of dollars every year to finance the Pakistani military, of which ISI is a part.
Well, but there's a lot of very divided, very confusingly divided factions and loyalties over there. I mean, we've talked about in the past how the Pakistanis did support the ISI anyway, or parts of their government anyway, have supported the Afghan Taliban. If that's not part and parcel with the Haqqani Network, then please discriminate between those things for us. But they've supported the Afghan Taliban while supporting our war against the Pakistani Taliban at the very same time.
Well, it is a very murky situation, no doubt, Scott. Pakistan's ISI certainly has close links with Taliban and with the Haqqani Network, which is in the Taliban alliance. Why not? They've started Taliban. That's a Pakistan sort of midwife. The birth of Taliban is supplied with arms. Taliban was its closest ally and primary agent inside of Afghanistan. And when the Americans then in 2001, we, according to General Musharraf, told me this, and the former ISI Director General told me this, that the U.S. put a gun, U.S. put a gun to our heads and said, either join the war against Taliban or we're going to bomb Pakistan back to the Stone Age. And so Pakistan had to bend its knee and cooperate, but reluctantly, because the forces against, who we're forcing it to fight against are actually Pakistan's allies. And the Pakistanis know that the America is losing the war in Afghanistan, and when America is finally gone, Pakistan will again need Taliban and will need the Haqqani network to advance its interests, particularly now that the Indians are making a full-court press to push their influence into Afghanistan.
Well, and America's been welcoming the Indians this whole time, right?
Yeah, and encouraging the Indians to step
in. I think I remember reading some things where the Indians were kind of complaining that the pressure was on pretty strong, and they wanted us to kind of back off their insistence that they join us in Afghanistan a little bit.
Well, the Indians refused wisely to send troops, which the U.S. was trying to do, but they are expanding their influence through intelligence and buying up local warlords and this type of thing. And, of course, this
is... Well, the Americans aren't trying to start a nuclear war over there. They're just that stupid that they want to bring in Indian combat forces to Afghanistan to fight against the Taliban.
Isn't it amazing? A two nuclear armed bombs, bull in a china shop, and shows the continuing stupidity. I hate to use the word, but I have to. The stupidity in Washington and the ignorance of these people who are pulling strings in South Asia that, as you rightfully say, could provoke a nuclear war.
Yeah, it's amazing that they would, you know, I can see how imperialists want to finagle this, that, and the other thing, but really, bringing the Indians in to fight against the Taliban in Afghanistan, that seems like, you know, the average middle-ranking goofball over at the State Department ought to know better than that, right?
Well, they do. You know, the State Department is well aware of these things, and I have considerable respect for the State Department. In fact, I almost joined the Foreign Service myself after Georgetown University, but... nobody's listening to the State Department. They're listening to the Pentagon. They're listening to the War Party in Washington, or the Imperialists, as they would have been called in Britain in those days. And they're listening to special interest groups who have their own axe to grind, not to the people who know in the State Department, for sure.
Yeah. But now back to these specific charges. You doubt sincerely that the Pakistani ISI would work with the Haqqani network to bomb the American embassy in Kabul, right?
Correct. It doesn't make sense to me. This charge made by two of the highest ranking security officials in Washington says to me that America is tremendously frustrated over the war in Afghanistan. Obama's panicking as he's going down the tubes. He's humiliated, incredibly humiliated by Netanyahu in Israel. It made Obama look like a fool and a weakling. He's now losing the war in Afghanistan in spite of all the rosy pronouncements from U.S. headquarters and our laughingstock ambassador in Kabul, who's just put there to make chirpy pronouncements. And so the U.S. is now turning its wrath and frustration on Pakistan. It's got to find some reason. Can't say that a bunch of people in turbans and light weapons is defeating the mighty U.S. armed forces and NATO. So they've got to blame something more concrete, Pakistan. And as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, this is a harbinger, I think, the fact that the U.S. is going to expand military operations into Pakistan, meaning ground attacks by special operations units against different Pashtun organizations, and more drone attacks, possibly direct air attacks. And this is probably going to provoke eventually outright fighting between the Pakistani military and the United States.
Yeah, well, back again to, you know, middle-ranking, nobody, faceless bureaucrat over there in D.C. somewhere, foreign policy wonk or whatever, they got to have a rudimentary understanding, you know, my level understanding of the situation in Pakistan, that really the military is the only thing making Pakistan, Pakistan, and holding that state together in the first place. And I just wonder how far these people think they can push that line before the country dissolves. Maybe that's what they want, further intervention there. And sorry to talk us all the way up to the break. We'll pick it up on the other side with Eric Margolis right after this. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with Eric Margolis, author of American Raj, Liberation or Domination. Writes at ericmargolis.com. And I forget where we were on the other side of the break, but we meant to pick it up there.
We were talking about Afghanistan and where were we? At possibly my view that the claims by Washington that the Pakistani-linked Haqqani network in Afghanistan and Pakistan is behind attacks on the U.S. Embassy in Kabul.
Oh, right. We were talking about whether they were going to, with their drone strikes, go ahead and disintegrate the Pakistani state to the point where it escalates into the kind of thing where then they get to begin to escalate their intervention there.
Right. Will U.S. troops become, or special forces become actively involved in Pakistan? Will they try, as Pakistanis are now going to say, they're going to try and grab Pakistan's nuclear arsenal, which is dispersed and heavily guarded. I see many opportunities for direct clashes between Pakistan and U.S. forces. Also, maybe this hasn't dawned yet on Washington, that if they really start roughing up Pakistan, Pakistan holds one ace, and that is that it can choke off truck supply convoys from Karachi into Afghanistan that supply almost all the fuel and heavy munitions and heavy materials for U.S. and NATO forces operating there.
Now, when it comes to the story about Osama bin Laden, it seemed like it just went without saying that, the Pakistani government, they were hiding them from us. And it seemed to me very plausible that at least, say, parts of the ISI were. But I never bought the story that the Pakistani military was hiding them there. I mean, this guy Kiani and the others that run the military over there, they're best buddies with the U.S. Pentagon. Is that not right?
That is right, and with the CIA, too. And so I find it, and they had no use particularly for bin Laden. I mean, as a person, they had contempt and dislike for him. I can't bring myself to blame the Pakistani military for that. And if it was ISI that was hiding bin Laden, well, why didn't they hide him better? The best place for him to have been secreted was in Karachi, city of, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 million people, rather than pretty well out in the open in this relatively small city of Abbottabad. It's curious. I don't understand it.
Hiding in plain sight seemed to work for a pretty good while there, though.
It did, but eventually it would seem that he would be spotted, and so he was. It's a mystery, and why, you know, Pakistan still claims it didn't know he was there. I find it very hard to believe that. Americans, Washington is right when it says that Pakistan knew all along and was hiding bin Laden. So there are wheels within wheels here, but the Pakistanis are not the only people doing mysterious things. I mean, why did the U.S. Kill him? Why wasn't he brought to trial? Why was his body dumped secretly in the ocean? This just feeds more speculation and rumors.
Yeah. Well, now, with these recent accusations, I mean, because after all, whatever double and triple games are going on between Afghanistan, Pakistan, and America over there, they've been going on. But now to have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense make these accusations against the Pakistanis at this point, is this to you a symbol of something to come, that they're trying to basically prepare us, along with that the narrative about hiding bin Laden? Seems like there's a certain faction of the war party there that actually would like a full-scale intervention against not just people inside the borders of Pakistan, but against Pakistan, the state itself.
Yes, there is. By the way, I said Panetta was head of the CIA. He's gone over to the Pentagon, as you correct me on that. Have I got that right? They're playing musical chairs.
Petraeus is the head of
Petraeus,
the CIA.
Panetta has gone over to the Pentagon. Definitely the war party is beating the war drums in Washington, and it's over Pakistan's nuclear weapons, I'm convinced. You know, it's very important that the Israeli Foreign Minister Lieberman stated last year that that Pakistan's nuclear arsenal was one of the greatest threats to Israel. Now, this sort of went unnoticed in the U.S. media, but amongst the neocons in Washington, it set off alarm signals, and it moved Pakistan way up on the target list. And the U.S., of course, doesn't want, you know, is very worried about those nuclear weapons, even though it closed its eyes to them for a decade. So there will be, I think, a move against Pakistan's weapons. So the Pakistanis are nervous as wet hens about it.
Well, It's absolutely crazy, right? I mean, even, you know, I mean, you look at the, this is the military that carried off their airstrikes, the decapitation strikes against Saddam Hussein and killed nothing but a bunch of women and children. We're supposed to believe that they're going to do, you know, 15 or 100 different, who knows how many different Osama bin Laden-style SEAL Team 6 raids and take every important component of all of Pakistan's nuclear weapons and I don't know, one evening or something. That's amazing that anyone could believe that. That's probably, I'm not sure how to say it. If anything is going to get those nukes set off, it seems to me it would be an attempt to seize them like that, you know?
Well, they're dissembled to start with, most of them. And they have all kinds of links and keys and things that have to be activated to use them. But I think a more probable event is that U.S. Special Forces go in to attack a suspected nuclear site, storage site, to try and grab the weapons. The helicopters come in and they clash with Pakistani security forces and more troops rush in and U.S. aircraft come in and you have the makings of a war.
But wouldn't they have to hit all kinds of different facilities, uncountable different facilities at the same time?
Well, I would suspect at least between 5 and 10 different locations, not counting Pakistan's nuclear weapons facilities where they're built. I'm just talking about storage. And probably some of the nuclear weapons are stored very close to some of Pakistan's air and missile bases, which are under particularly heavy military guard. So that's a dangerous situation. But what's happened in Washington, you know, you're saying, why are they, would they risk this? Well, because we've gone special operations forces crazy in Washington. These, you know, the Delta team, Delta and the Navy SEALs, and these people, they're the new golden-haired boys of the Pentagon. The new commanders in the Pentagon come from that background. And they think they can do anything. And after killing bin Laden, everybody's even doubly convinced of this now, and they're going to be the new wonder weapon to be used against anybody who's on our black books, not only in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan and in Yemen and in East Africa and West Africa as well.
Yeah, they're calling it the Osama bin Laden doctrine. Let's just go ahead and admit and declare that America's is the world army, and there is no state border that can stop us. We'll go where we want. We'll call it hot pursuit if we want, or call it whatever we want.
Exactly.
Yeah, amazing. Well, you know, I guess it really is right what Henry Kissinger said. That's more dangerous to be America's ally than our enemy.
Well, particularly when it's a forced ally, too. You know, the basic problem is that Pakistan's and America's interests are diametrically opposed in Afghanistan, and the U.S. is forcing Pakistan to do things that are wholly inimical, dangerous to its own interests. And at a time when polls in Pakistan show that 90% or more of Pakistanis support Taliban, they're against the war in Afghanistan, and they regard the United States now as Pakistan's number one enemy. The U.S. has surpassed India as enemy number one for 170 or 180 million Pakistanis. It's extremely dangerous because Pakistan was and is going to be even more so an engine generating violent anti-American groups.
Mm. All right, now I'm sorry, we have so little time here, but does this assassination of the Prime Minister of Afghanistan, is this a symbol of the hopelessness of America's cause over there?
In part, but also the murderous nature of Pakistan's ethnic politics. Former Burhanuddin Rabbani was an old friend of mine. I knew him from the early 1980s when the struggle against the Soviets started, when they were freedom fighters, not terrorists. And he was the most important Tajik leader, and he was a very fine man and scholar. He was the one man I thought who could unite Tajiks and Uzbeks. His murder this week is a tragedy for Afghanistan and bodes ill for us.
Well, and the story of it, at least in, you know, officialdom's version of it here, it's a absolutely amazing story of how it was done. I guess I'll encourage people to go Google that up and read about what happened there, because we're all out of time. Thanks very much for yours, Eric.
Cheers, Scott.
Eric Margolis, everybody. EricMargolis.com. American Raj, Liberation or Domination is the book.